Let's start out with prayer, all right? Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we go into the next chapter of our fund today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what I want to do is I want to show you how to find some things on the internet. You guys are starting a Facebook. Well, the Carolina Conference has a Facebook page. And you guys are going to be on it next week because I took pictures of you guys. Now, I want you to realize that I just grabbed a few pictures. I wanted to get a picture of Gloria. She had, was your Sabbath school lesson instructor in here, correct? But I was getting ready, but then the lights went out, and I didn't want to bother you all by using flash pictures, so I did not get a picture of Gloria today or some other people too. So I want you to know that it was not an unabridged. I just grabbed some pictures real quick, then put my camera away. Well, there you go. All right. So anyway, so what we're going to do now, first of all, I'll show you how to get to the Carolina Conference website. Perhaps you know this already, but it's Carolina SDA. That makes sense, doesn't it? Carolina SDA. So you can put in Carolina SDA. Now, you can either make it an org or a com. It doesn't really matter. But you either want to go com or org. Do you see that? Carolina SDA. Do you see it up there where I was typing it? Carolina SDA, the Seventh-day Adventist. CarolinaSDA.com. Boom. And this is the official website for the Carolina Conference. I guess you can sort of see that it is, right? All right, now, what I want you to see, there are a lot of different things that you can see on this. This doesn't even show you the right column. By the way, have you seen this little girl yet? Has this come to your house yet, the Carolina Action? That's my girlfriend. I took that picture. She was part... They were at the Raleigh SDA Church. And the Raleigh SDA Church, they were having a health expo. And I'm the health director, and so I like to promote things in health in our journals, in the Carolina Action and the Southern Tidings. So I took several pictures, and she was one of them that I took. If you click that, these are the different Carolina Actions. See, they go way back. See that? But if you want the one that's the latest one, 2003, see that 123 issue, you can click download and it will download it. There it is. Now, that's too big, and so you make it smaller by hitting this minus key. I know you guys are already saying you've already snowed me, Bob. I don't know what else to do with all this. See, it's making it, you see what it's doing? It's fitting it into, that's one too many, so you go this far. And there she is. Healthy kids, happy kids. It says page 3. See, there's page 3. See that featured story? This girl right here, she's from Mount Pisgah Academy. And also this fellow up here standing. Can you see my little thing I'm moving around? He's from Mount Pisgah Academy. That person right there is from Mount Pisgah Academy. And if you look, the article... You may know this person. Who's the article written by? See it? You might know that guy now. James White. So see, I wrote that article. All right. By the way, I also took this picture right here of Dale Pollitt. He's our conference evangelist. Have you met him? Good. And I also wrote this article and took these pictures. They asked me to speak at the Carolina Retirees Retreat. Was anybody here? Anybody in this church go to that retreat? You guys aren't retired yet, huh? So anyway, there's that is. All right, so anyway, that's all. You can get that from going to the Carolina. You can get the Carolina Action by clicking on this. See where this is? This is at the Carolina Conference website. All right. By the way, for what it's worth, I also, yours truly, also covered this stewardship summit. And also, I took this. Have you seen this man yet? You have heard him, Elder Haskell. You've heard of him, huh? Yep. He is our ministerial director. He likes trains. This was at our Carolina Conference office. This was one of our weekly worships, and it was his turn. We divided up, and I have worship next week at the Carolina Conference all week. And anyway, this is a story about him and his train. See that by Ken Ford deal? Are you guys bored yet? Or are you enjoying this? All right. And also, here's the Dale Pollitt story about Dale. And all right, so anyway, what else I want to show you is that I want to show you how you can get onto Facebook. What you want to do is you want to go to the far right, just below the president's video. See the video up here? Just below that, there's these three choices right here. To get to the Carolina Conference website for their Facebook, you put your cursor over the F, and F is for what? Excellent, Marcus, excellent. Facebook, so you click for the F. And notice where it takes you. It takes you to the Carolina Conference Facebook page. Now, if you are already a member of Facebook, then you ought to log in. But if you aren't, that's okay, because you don't have to be. What you want to do is you want to go to Photos. See where the photos is? You can either click the picture or you can click the word, either way. And then you want to go to Albums. And these are the different albums that we post. And your album is going to be right up at the front next week. It's going to say Aiken SDA. All right? Sure, okay. But I mean, you guys are going to all leave if I don't start my health seminar. See, I was in Rutherfordton recently, and I took some pictures of Rutherfordton. All right, so here they are just real quick. And this is what, you know, yours is going to look similar. I mean, I don't take a whole lot of pictures because I got to go. I got fish to fry, people to see. But this is the Rutherfordton. That's a tongue twister for me. This is their church. What I do mostly is take pictures of the buildings. This was before they started. There they are doing some music. They were sort of practicing. Now they have started. Have you seen him before? He and his wife sing a lot. He sings at the Dale Pollitt meetings. And there she is. She was like the Sabbath school superintendent. And then this was the fella giving the Sabbath school lesson. I think that's it. Yep. So that just a few shots, and what it gives you, it sort of just gives you a real quick feel of what it's like to visit Rutherfordton, right? So yours will be on there. Again, what you do, I showed you how to do it. Then you click Photos, Albums. But you see, this thing goes back. Of course, it's going to want me to sign in to go back very far. See that? Please log in. It only let me go back so far. But I won't do any more of that. Now, so how do you do it? You go to carolinasda.org and you go over to the F. You see that? Now, I want to show you one more thing. And that is, there's another thing that I do a lot of, and that I have a health ministries website on Facebook. So what you can do is you go to the other side and see where it says departments. See that right there, departments? You can get it there or you can get it here. But you go to departments. And what I'm interested in you doing is going to health. Health ministries. See that? You click health ministries and there I am, the baldy. There I am. That's when I had a beard. I can't find my beard either. Now, for news and updates, it says click here. That's my secretary. Click here. So I click there. And this is one of my little websites on the Carolina. And where I really spend most of my time when it comes to this part of my work is I add things in the health ministries section a lot. So you would click health ministries. And by the way, once you get to the Carolina Conference Health Ministries, if you're a Facebook member, if you click like, I will be added to your news feed. See this like right here? If you click that, you will automatically send it to my website, and then anything that I post, you will automatically get on your Facebook news feed if you click like. So I want to encourage you to like me. All right, like. And then what I do is I add a bunch of current news that talks about health. See, I just added these recently. 10 simple ways to relieve stress and improve your mood. 7 reasons to turn off the television. You see that one? What is it doing? These are all health-related things in the news. Fitness during middle age may prevent dementia. It's talking about good reasons for staying fit. Tips for following the dietary approaches to stop hypertension. That's the DASH diet. Look at this one. I put the guy's dead head on there. Sitting in front of TV too long may cut sperm count. Well, that wouldn't be for all of us, but energy drinks, alcohol mix, very dangerous for teens. Some of us are interested in having children, and you have to think about those things. It's very important. High blood pressure pictures, symptoms, causes, tests, and treatments. Most cancer tests should be avoided, Consumer Reports. The association between midlife cardiorespiratory fitness. If you were down here with me, you'd see why it's hard for me to see all kinked in down here. Vegetarians cut health risk by 32%. That's from the BBC. That's from British news. So anyway, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, I've done it for like a year. And so there's a lot of articles, and they're new ones I post all the time. I want to encourage you to get on there and hit the like button so that I can... I've got to get to my presentation or else you guys are going to throw me out. I will real quick, let me show you how... Now you said your church, and you call it Aiken. It's not coming up yet. I don't see it. Oh, there it is down here. Is that it? Where's that? Let me try this. It's not S. And it's not this. I know what you're talking about, but that won't do it. No, it won't do it. I need to keep moving here. Why doesn't it have that? It should. I'm surprised it won't come up. All right, but that's exciting that you guys are doing that. All right, let me get going here. Because Oprah's, she's beginning to talk in my ear. She's saying, Kenny, I want to get going. All right. This is where you're supposed to... All right, now you got the PA going, right, back there? Because this is going to it's gonna come on. Yes, it is plugged in. All right, remember I showed you this earlier? Here it is again. What you want to do is you want to get to that button and click that button, and it takes you to the Health Ministries website on Facebook. Title of our talk is Playthings. Now, where am I supposed to be where I don't get in your way? Let's try this. Dogbert, I don't understand why you or anybody would become a vegetarian. Now, you're going to have to adjust the volume. Oprah sort of comes on hot. The next video is not as hot, but she comes on hot. I don't understand why you or anybody would become a vegetarian. You mean, why don't I take dead animals, cook them until they're carcinogenic, then eat them instead of something nutritious? Is that your question? Exactly. Is there any good reason? Have you joined a cult? I live in Loma Linda. Give her some more juice.
Loma Linda, California is America's only blue zone. That's where Dr. Mehmet Oz met 103-year-old Marge Jatan.
Hello.
The queen of England will not
herself. She's a Seventh-day Adventist.
When I first meet Marge, I can't believe she's 103 years old.
It's hard to keep up with you, Marge.
Then I see her daily exercise routine, and I'm really blown away.
So how long do you do this for?
7 or 8 miles.
7 or 8 miles.
Yeah. You know, your heart rate is not fast even now. You're biking 25 miles an hour. You know, it's impressive. Most folks watching this program, I don't think, can go 25 miles an hour.
Take my jacket off?
Yes.
Go on.
She's getting risque now. Oh, now she's getting serious.
Woo!
At 103, Marge is an absolute dynamo.
And Marge, your arms are very strong. She has big biceps muscles.
I don't think they're very big.
Well, they're very big. This is priceless. You know what we're buying? I can't. Pumping iron. You okay? I think you had enough.
No, I'm not finished.
Don't be telling her.
Marge turned 104 years old just a few days ago. Happy birthday, Marge.
And there she is, celebrating 104.
And I hear one of her secrets is that she volunteers a lot.
Her husband, after 77 years of marriage, she heard a thump on the bathroom floor and her marriage ended. And she mourned. Of course you're going to mourn after that long. But then she said, I realize the world is not going to come to me. I need to go to the world. And the 2 days I spent with her, we barreled down the San Bernardino Freeway in her 1994 root beer colored Cadillac. She's wearing aviator glasses. And she still volunteers for 7 organizations at 103. So it's this idea of helping.
Wow. So I understand gratitude's another big part of it, too. A lot of people there are very grateful.
Yeah, well, I think this ties back to their religion. You know, for 24 hours every week, no matter how stressed out, no matter where the kids need to be driven to, they stop everything. From Friday night until Saturday night, they focus on their God, their family, their community, and then hardwired right in the religion.
This is the Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist, right.
Yeah.
And then they take nature hikes. And the important thing, it's routine. If you're not going to do it for a long time, don't even bother because it's not going to impact your longevity. So belonging to the right community where these rituals happen every week, that is the secret for adding good years.
Just to play on this gratitude issue, it really is the core to happiness. At the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about? If you're grateful for the things that have happened to you, sometimes they're not always good, but you find lessons and meaning in them. And I think that community, all these communities that Dan took me to, shared that optimistic outlook on life, but also was a sensible outlook. You know, Randy Pausch taught us this, right? You know, hope isn't about a good outcome, it's about making sense of stuff. And these people have made sense of their life, and they do
Randy
it all
Pausch,
the time.
Randy Pausch, the last lecture. Coming up, spaghetti with walnut balls, crab cakes without the crab, and shrimpless cocktail. A Loma Linden feast. That's next.
There you go. Can you believe it? Do you understand what you just saw? I want you to realize what you just saw was a miracle. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah is as popular and as well known in the world as some presidents. Did you know? In fact, she's better known than many presidents. And she's talking about Seventh-day Adventists. And did you see Dr. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, talking about Seventh-day Adventists? You think they would talk about us if it would have to do with anything else other than our health? I don't think so. Why were they talking about us? Because Loma Linda, California is the only blue zone in North America. That is humongous. Why? Because people that live around Loma Linda, Seventh-day Adventists, they find, live 6, 7, 8, 10 years longer than the average population. And so Muhammad, Dr. Oz and Oprah Winfrey, they're trying to find out, what are you guys doing? How are you living longer? And we even got featured in a National Geographic magazine as the only blue zone in North America. It reminds me of this scripture, Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here is God giving you a key to church growth, right here. You can try to get people to come. You can try to catch their interest on talking about the seventh-day Sabbath. Good luck. You probably won't. In fact, you'll probably annoy people if you use that as your opening statement. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about what happens when you die either. That's a controversial subject. They need to get to know you better before you start bringing up those topics. What you've got to do, as Ellen White says in Ministry of Healing 143, I believe it is, where she says, we need to follow Christ's method. It will bring success. He mingled among people as one who desired their success. He met their felt needs. And after he met their felt needs, then they would say, what else do you have? In other words, they were open to what he said. But only after he identified with their needs. We have an aging population now, folks. We're getting older and older and older and older and older. We're not dying. But the problem is we're not living either. We're piling up chronic disease after chronic disease after chronic disease that we have to live with for years, if not decades. And you know why? Much of the time, the majority of the time, not always though, but a lot of the time it is because of lifestyle issues. It's because of the way that we've been treating our bodies for decades and it catches up with us. All right? Lifestyle. Here is Marge, and what is she doing? She's going 7 or 8 miles a day, right? On this bike, 25 miles an hour. Also, they were talking about the next part, which we didn't see, about crab cakes without the crabs. They were talking about a vegan diet or a vegetarian diet. In other words, it's a systemic approach. It's a many things. That's how she's living so long. And not only is she living that long, but she doesn't have all these problems. And God wants us to be the same way, folks. By the way, if you were to have seen me 5 years ago, there was a lot more to me than there is now. I've lost like 30 pounds. I thought I was going to die. I really did. I had problems, and so I went to a lifestyle center, and I'm not going to tell you what the name of it is because I don't want to endorse any particular lifestyle center. But I went to one for weeks. And really, they helped me out, but they also put me on a trajectory of really thinking about my health. And the result is now one of the things I'm doing is health director. And so I'm telling you my own story. I know what it's like to be a bad little boy and eat a lot of stuff that you shouldn't eat and not exercise hardly ever and all that. I've been there. I know about that. And I know what it's like when you decide to change. And I'm not totally there yet either. I'm still growing. So let's talk about some things. Exercise, that's one of the things that she did. Exercise. Notice Dr. Agatha Thrash, and we're going to have different people that we're going to talk to today. This is one of them. She's a Seventh-day Adventist physician. Dr. Agatha Thrash. What you're not going to see today is anything from me. What I have done is I've brought together different healthcare professionals and listening to them. She says exercise is so important that if I could present only one health study, it would be on exercise. Now, that is a lot from Dr. Thrash, because if you've ever listened to her, and by the way, she's going to be at the next camp meeting. She's going to be our 2013 camp meeting health seminar guest. She's going to be speaking all week. You guys ought to come and listen to her. It'll be life-changing. She talks about nutrition. That's what she talks about a lot. But notice she says if she could only have one crack at us, it would be on exercise. Exercise is vital. Look at this. There are so many disorders that could be neutralized. All right, Marcus, have you ever heard of that word, neutralized? Good, I got you on one. So, Dad, what does neutralized mean? Cancels it out. It means you can stop. You can get healed. A problem that you had, it can be stopped by lots of vigorous exercise. As exercise is increased, degenerative diseases of all kinds are decreased, lifespan is extended, the quality of life is significantly enhanced. What is she doing? Exercise. This is a physician. She's not some bubba. That's a physician, folks. We can go to the doctor and we can get medicine, and I think there are times when we do need to have medicine. I believe that. But I think that, and what my wife and I choose to do, is we try to see, we'd like to go to a holistic doctor who also can give us medicine if need be. But we want to help, we prefer to have a doctor that is going to try to work with our lifestyle issues to see if we can heal ourselves by changing some lifestyle things. And if we need to get on medication at the beginning or whatever, we're open to that. Because sometimes you've got to have medication or else you're going to be in a life-threatening situation. I understand that. But there are times when, hey, look, have you ever noticed? You'll be looking at the Lucy Show. You'll be looking at Andy of Mayberry or whatever. And the commercials are all prescription drug companies. And they have pictures of beautiful women and beautiful men running out in the forest and laughing and playing while they are talking about all the side effects of the prescription drugs, which quite often one of them could be death. Drugs, they have side effects, you see. That doesn't mean that there are not times when we need to have drugs. I certainly believe that. But if we can find a way to fix ourselves through lifestyle issues, what you're doing is you're not giving a Band-Aid approach. You're fixing it at the source. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? As opposed to just covering up. When I used to work on cars, I worked on the cars, I would fix cars. We would go to the auction and buy auction cars and then sell them for a profit. One thing you do not want to do when you are at an inexpensive car auction, you do not want to touch the car. You do not want to lean on the car. Why? Because there's a lot of those auction cars that are freshly painted. Why? They're covering up the rust. I'm talking about, I used to do it in Michigan when I went to school at Andrews University. They're covering up all kinds of problems. The car looks perfect for a few hours or a day or two. But then all the rust begins to pop out. That's called, it's a masking the real problem. Drugs can mask problems that can be fixed through a change in lifestyle. So you need to be aware of that. National Institutes of Health improves, exercise improves mood and relieves depression, helps prevent or delay many diseases and disabilities, including some types of cancer. Look at this, from exercise, prevents, delays, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, increased strength, improves health in the frail or those with diseases that accompany aging, improves balance, builds endurance, restores flexibility, improves quality of life. Well, then why is it that I just never seem to have time to exercise? Have you noticed that? You might as well make time to exercise, folks, because one day you're going to have plenty of time sitting around because we're going to have chronic health problems because we haven't been exercising. And I'm talking to myself. I admit it. I do not exercise as much as I need to. I'm a bad little boy. I need to exercise more. I admit it. Do you realize when many of us graduate from the eighth grade, we graduate from exercise? Think about it. When you're in the grade school, you have somebody bigger than you, more powerful than you, bothering you, forcing you to go out and play. You have to go. You don't have a choice. Get out there. And by the way, when you're a kid, you probably want to. And in high school, it begins to slow up. For some of us, it quits. If you're not out there playing football or basketball or softball, what are you doing? You're sitting on the bleachers watching them, right? For many of us, we graduate from exercise. The only thing we exercise much is our mouse wrist as we're fooling with the computer. That's about it. Folks, we have got to change that. It's killing us. And it's giving us a lot of chronic diseases, lack of exercise. All right, another issue, stress. Stress is a killer. This is from Dr. Dean Ornish. He's a physician. You've heard of Dr. Ornish. There's an explosion of well-conducted... Brian, I have a problem with these slides, by the way. These coming up right here in this section. There's an explosion of well-conducted scientific studies showing the powerful connection between our emotions and our health. Emotional stress is an important factor in the vast majority. Do you see that? Of illnesses. And that's why they were talking about it. Did you hear Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Oz? They were talking about they have an attitude. The Adventists have a positive attitude, they were saying around Loma Linda. Friends, Christ says in this world we're going to have tribulation. So we're going to have problems. But the thing is, Jesus will use Satan's trials to draw us closer to Jesus if we let him. What does the Bible say? Romans 8, all things are working together for good. All things. Ellen White says, trials and obstacles are God's chosen method of discipline and His appointed condition of success. Stress can have a negative impact on just about every part of your body. Look what it did to my hair. Stress also makes you age faster. Now, this thing is really causing me a problem, Brian. I can't seem to get these things out of here, and it totally annoys me. See, I did that on purpose. If you have something like this happen in life, find a way to fix it instead of letting it ruin your day. Do not let that saw blade define your life. James White, remember that summer? He cut his ankle severely. He was tempted to give up. If he would have given up, we would have never had all the things that Elder White did to start our church. He didn't give up, but Satan was trying to get him to give up. Look, I came close to giving up because of not having hair. That really, really, really crushed me. Now, I'm 58 years old, so I can get away with it now. But when I was Brian's age or younger, I was bald as a jaybird. That really made me feel bad. Or the English teacher would say, no, it did not make you feel bad. It made you feel badly. Whichever. All right. So anyway, we cannot allow trials to define us, folks. Paul didn't. And he's the most prolific writer in the New Testament, Paul. But he had a thorn in the flesh. Some believe it might have been eyesight because of his walk to Damascus. He got struck by lightning. He needed something. Ellen White says that there is a strong relation that exists between the mind and the body. It's very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Many of the diseases from which men suffer is the result of mental depression. We need to realize that. I'm going to skip through some of this now. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We know that. Look at this ministry of healing. In the treatment of the sick, the effect of mental influences should not be overlooked. Rightly used, this influence affords one of the most effective agencies for combating disease. All right, now is where you guys are going to want to throw me out. I want to talk about one of my favorite foods, chocolate. Uh-oh, Ruth is ready to throw me out right now. Now, I will admit it. dead to rights. I like chocolate. I do. I like it. I really like it. I will trade kale. You can get it. What you can, collard greens, kale, spinach. If take one of those away, but please let me have my chocolate. I like chocolate, but through God's grace, I am weaning myself away from chocolate. Friends, chocolate is dangerous. Now you say dark chocolate has antioxidants. We're going to talk about that, Ruth. Watch this. Now notice, see, I got her name now, Ruth and Alice. I got no Alice's name. This is from Proof Positive. By the way, I would encourage you to buy that book. It's an expensive book. It's from Dr. Neil Nedley. He's a Seventh-day Adventist physician. An excellent book. By the way, I carry so much stuff around. I have two boxes of books. I probably should have brought them. It takes two pews to put them all out. You can see some of the books that I've read on health. One of them is Proof Positive by Dr. Neil Nedley. You're going to see some of the slides that I purchased. I got permission to use some of the slides out of that book. This is from his book, Theobromine, another study of prostate cancer. And I know some of you out there said, look, Bub, I don't have to worry about that then. Just forget it. Just hang in there because we've got other body parts that are affected. In another study of prostate cancer, those who averaged 20 milligrams or more of theobromine, and by the way, 20 milligrams ain't much. Those who averaged 20 milligrams or more of theobromine, it's a caffeine relative especially known to be found in kale, right? Chocolate. Per day, doubled their risk of prostate cancer. Those with intermediate consumption had an intermediate level of risk. It does not take much chocolate to provide 20 milligrams of theobromine. Now, here's where all of us can come in. Theobromine, chocolate also contains, what is that word, Marcus? Can you say that word, Marcus? That's close, carcinogen. Carcinogen, what is a carcinogen? It's nice to be laying your head on your mom, isn't it? That's right. It's cancer producing. Do you get that? Chocolate contains a carcinogen. I got Ruth's attention now. Chocolate contains a carcinogen. Oh, I wish it wasn't true. Theobromine is a caffeine relative found particularly in chocolate and tea. Research suggests that even small amounts of this compound taken regularly can double a man's risk of prostate cancer. The concerns with caffeine and its relatives are not wholly theoretical. These drugs have potent cancer-causing effects. So now, if you guys have an annoying neighbor, and they just seem to bother you. Maybe they play the music too loudly or something. If you want to annoy them, what you need to do is feed their plants chocolate. You don't have to touch them. Feed their plants, their roses, lilies, whatever, chocolate. Why? Because in laboratory studies, they are capable of damaging the chromosomes of both plants and animals. You want your chromosomes damaged? No, but can you please pass me the chocolate? Theobromine in chocolate causes abnormal gland growth. By the way, I have some female relatives. Their doctors have told them, you have breast cancer in your family, you need to stay off of chocolate. Many of the things that affect the prostate also affect the mammary glands. We need to be aware of that, folks. Theobromine in chocolate causes abnormal gland growth, central nervous system stimulation, sleeplessness, depression, and anxiety. It also has been incriminated the possibility of the enlargement of the prostate in men, since nodules in the prostate similar to tumors in the breast are known to increase risk of cancer. Every effort should be made to prevent these growths. This is from Dr. Thrash again. Sleeplessness, depression, anxiety. This is... We go on vacation, folks, and we pig out on chocolate. And then we need to come home and have a vacation to get over our vacation. And a lot of the reason we have problems in vacation, we have relational problems with one another, it's because of the junk we're eating. and also not going to bed. Tannin in cocoa has been implicated in certain cancers of the digestive tract. Yeah. I can hear you out there right now saying, but dark chocolate is different. Dark chocolate is good for you. Hang in there, folks. This will be a freebie coming along. Certain cancers of the digestive tract. That's in cocoa. Now let's talk about, let's have a little sideshow. Chocolate. I don't know if you've ever tasted just chocolate, nothing else in it, just chocolate. Chocolate tastes like dirt. It isn't good. It tastes gross. It truly does. What we are eating is a lot of sugar in the chocolate. And sugar is dangerous. We're going to talk about sugar later on. You guys don't want me to talk about sugar. I know you want. I wish that they would say that sugar is fine, but you can't have any more kale. Well, I could force myself. A large amount of sugar is necessary to make chocolate palatable. Most cocoa beans are produced in countries where sanitation levels, folks, you're not going to want to hear this, particularly after you just ate. We get a lot of stuff from countries other than the United States, and trust me, their Food and Drug Administration is a lot less testy than ours. What do they allow in chocolate and chocolate syrup, chocolate liquor? Up to 120 insect fragments per gallon. Can you believe that? Are you guys going to allow me to say that? It isn't per gallon. Whoops. I hit the wrong... What does it say? Cup. You didn't catch me on that. 120, I did that on purpose, by the way. 120 insect fragments per cup? Maybe that's that crinkle crack that you taste when you, the chocolate just has such a nice feel in my tongue. Well, enjoy yourself, bub. Maybe that's some insect fragments. Or 2 rodent hairs per cup. Are you grossed out enough yet? Probably not. Probably in the next week you're going to have something chocolatey. Maybe this will do it. How about animal BM? Yes. Don't forget, where did this come from? This is from Dr. Thrash, Poison with a Capital C. I even have the book, but I don't have it with me. Yes. None of this is stuff that I have said. These are all direct quotes from these books. See, I don't care. If you want to have animal droppings and horse hairs and cat hairs and all that in kale, I could force myself to live with that. But don't put it in chocolate. The more we read, you would be surprised how the food industry gets away with putting all kinds of stuff in our food. And they're doing it for one reason. You know what that number one reason is? Profit. Profit. Now that's both. Well, I think that certainly there would be some better, I would say, in U.S., but they still allow this type of stuff. There you are. Hershey's, is that over in China? Hershey's chocolate. There's your answer. Sorry. I know you were trying to get an out. I know you're trying to get an out on us, Alice. I don't blame you. If you find an out, let me know, because I like chocolate. Now let's go to Hershey's website. They're talking about 20 milligrams being dangerous. 20 milligrams is very little. It's up here at the top. 1.55 ounces. Let me tell you right now, I can blow away 1.55 ounces of chocolate before I say supercalifragilistic. That isn't much chocolate, folks. But look what happens when you go down to Kit Kat. I love Kit Kats. It's the same, it's even less, but look at it. Now it's doubled in theobromine. And look at these others. Mr. Goodbar, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Rolos, don't talk to me about Rolos. Now let's talk about dark chocolate. Dark. Look at this, 1.45. That is less weight than the 20. But look what's happened. 184. It's blown right out through the sky. Boom! Dark chocolate is triply, quadruply dangerous. Why? Now, by the way, this is the Hershey's Company. Due to its natural occurrence in cocoa beans, this is from the Hershey's website, theobromine is also a component of all chocolate products, though the amount will vary depending on how much and which ingredients are used. Dark chocolates, unsweetened baking chocolate, and cocoa powder contain more theobromine than milk chocolates. And can we quit talking about chocolates, because I want to get one. Isn't it terrible? Satan is going around like a roaring lion, folks, seeking whom he may devour, including me. I'm not coming up here as some angel telling you that I don't have challenges with this too, because I do. But I tell you what, I've come a long way, baby. When I was at Andrews University in graduate school, no, it was undergraduate, taking religion, I drank 6 glasses of whole milk a day. 2 for every meal. 3 meals a day. 2 times 3 is what? 6. Excellent. And I said, I'm getting too much fat in my system. I'm having too much dairy. Back then it was just the idea of fat. That's all I'd really heard about then. So I went to skim milk. Skim milk, to me, it tasted like somebody had taken water and ground up chalk in it. That is what it tasted like. It tasted completely, nauseatingly sick to me. So I drank skim milk for a week that I was going to be a good little boy. But at the end of the week, I said, I am totally grossed with this. I'm going to have me a glass of whole milk. And I mean, I was just pumped. So I just sat there with that, filled that baby up, because that's when they had, you know, the milk thing where it had the big old gallons and gallons in there, and you pull up the weighted thing and you fill up your own glass. Filled that glass up, and I was just wanting it so bad. English teacher Lee. And put that baby up there, filled up my insides. Sucked that baby. I thought I was going to throw up. It tasted like somebody had a paintbrush and they were coating my mouth with fat. That's from, because I was used to the skim milk after a week. Friends, it's what we get used to in most cases. I think it's going to take me more than a week, though, to get totally off of chocolate. I have no idea. I haven't done it. This is not an unabridged study, but I believe that they're probably going to be close to the same deal. So anyway, look at this. Hershey's milk chocolate bar contains about 64 milligrams of theobromine. In comparison, the same amount of Hershey's dark chocolate contains 188. Dark chocolate, yep, guess what? It has more antioxidants in it. Go for it, baby. Go for it. But guess what? I give you a glass of sprinkling water, and I'm going to put strychnine in it. Are you going to drink it? You're going to say, no, Bob, you have spiked the water with something that is dangerous. That's what happens with chocolate. Yes, it has antioxidants in it. We're going to talk about antioxidants. Do you think that the eternal God, who knows that I need antioxidants to kill the free radicals that are going around in my body, do you think that he says, Ken, so you need to eat your dark chocolate? No, he doesn't. He says, I know you need antioxidants, so where does he say get it? He says, get it right here. This is the Creator's operating manual. The dark green, dark red, dark orange, the dark colored veggies and fruits, that's like the antioxidants in them that's screaming out, eat me, eat me, eat me. That means that they're plumb full of antioxidants. This is the operating manual. Some of you heard me say this around a table, if I were a Martian. If I was a neutral person who had no fish, I had no dog in the fight, I would say this is the operating manual. In other words, Adam and Eve were created on which day of the week, Marcus? Third? Sixth. That's right, the sixth day of the week. Your mama blinked at you there. Sixth day of the week. They walked around for a little bit, maybe a mile, maybe two, and Adam and Eve got the uryerps. Their stomach started growling. And the Creator God said, you're hungry. Is that what's wrong with us? Yeah, they said, yeah, it's your tummy telling you that you're hungry. I can fix that. And so he walked around and he showed them what he had created for them to eat. Friends, this is the food. I don't care if you are an atheist. This is the food that your body is made to run on. You need to realize that more and more research nutritional scientists are lining up and they are realizing that the Genesis diet is the best diet for humans. It just is. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm talking about science. The four principles of nutrition. Make sure your diet consists primarily of vegetables, fruits, legumes, whole grains, and nuts. Now, some of you are grossed out. If my daughters were here, they would be grossed out. One of my daughters, she just doesn't like vegetables. How did that happen? I don't know. She doesn't like vegetables. Any of them, just about. And she likes very few fruits. She just doesn't care for it. Please, I have failed. My other daughter, I need to go to Sam's Club and fill up my trunk, my back seat, and my front seat with fruit. She will inhale bushels of fruit. She just loves fruit. She'll eat some vegetables too, but she just loves fruit. But the other daughter, she's grossed by it. Once in a while, we drop some hints when our older daughter is home, but she doesn't want to hear much of it either because Dad, would you quit being the health director? You know, and I understand that. Okay, so I have to cool it. Primarily, by the way, there is a lot of salvific in nuts. Not a whole lot of them, but we need nuts. We've got to have nuts, whole grains. 6 to 8 servings of non-starchy veggies a day, 2 to 4 servings of fruit, appropriate amounts of unrefined whole grains, you'll gradually begin to feel better and acquire a taste. I never had to acquire a taste for a Reese's. I just had it. I automatically liked it. Almond Joy, chocolate M&Ms, peanut chocolate M&Ms, almonds. I never had to acquire a taste for that. Right out of the gate, I loved it. Me too. That's the way that, by the way, sin tends to be that way. At first, you really like it, but it's that sin for a season. And then afterwards, you say, oh, what a goose I am. Why did I eat the whole thing? Your body. Have you noticed that after you pile up on that junk food, you begin to feel it? You can acquire a taste for good food. You want to look for the rainbow colors because they are rich in antioxidants. Complement your diet with 30 minutes at least, that's minimum, of intense exercise 5 days a week. Also, it's important an hour before or 2 hours after we eat because we don't want to dilute our digestive tracts. Some of you nutrition cops, probably noticed I had about a third of a glass of juice today during my meal. I talked for quite a while. Some of you would say too long. For church, I wanted to have something for my throat, a little liquid. So that's why I had some. I would say 98% of the time I drink no liquid during my meals. Probably 99% of the time. I don't do it. Turn her up, please. Here's the other guest.
When I sat down with former President Bill Clinton this week in New York City at the Clinton Global Initiative, we spoke about the U.S. economy, the election, world affairs. But the part of the interview that grabbed so much attention was about his dramatic weight loss and the diet that helped him shed 2 dozen pounds.
And I live on beans, legumes, vegetables, fruit. I drink a protein supplement every morning, no dairy. I drink almond milk mixed in with fruit and a protein powder, so I get the protein for the day when I start the day out. And it changed my whole metabolism, and I lost 24 pounds, and I got back to basically what I weighed in high school. But I did it for a different reason. I mean, I wanted to lose a little weight, but I didn't ever dream this would happen. I did it because after I had this stent put in, I realized that even though it happens quite often that after you have bypasses, you lose the veins because they're thinner and weaker than arteries. The truth is that it clogged up, which means that the cholesterol was still causing buildup in my vein that was part of my bypass. And thank God I could take the stents. I don't want it to happen again. So I did all this research, and I saw that 82% of the people since 1986 who have gone on a plant-based, no dairy, no meat of any kind, no chicken, turkey. I eat very little fish. Once in a while, I'll have a little fish. Not often. If you can do it, 82% of the people who've done that have begun to heal themselves. Their arterial blockage cleans up. The calcium deposit around their heart breaks up.
I can hear, I can feel, I can see your anger towards me. You're saying, this guy from the conference office, he's been on my case about chocolate. Now that was bad. That got me ticked off enough. But now he's coming up with stuff about no meat. And if that isn't bad enough, no dairy, you can leave. I've heard all I want to hear. My heart goes out to you. Do you want me to just tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to tell you the truth today? Would you pass a lie detector test, Ruth? Okay, good. Look, my first church district, 1976, I had the privilege of having the first elder. First elders can give pastors a lot of grief, or they can be a great source of joy. They can be either or. This first elder was a joy. He was a returned missionary physician, and his wife, I'm never standing in front of that thing, so I might as well turn it off before somebody says, why do you have that thing? But they had two missions. Dr. Yates was his name. Lovely family. Lovely. I was a newly married man, newly married preacher. They tried to do two things to us, two major things. One was they tried to get us off of dairy. I thought he was nuts. My wife thought he was nuts. 1976. I stayed on dairy for 30 years. I'm just picking, I mean, 25 at least. 25 years, probably 30. So I had no interest. He didn't get to first base with me on dairy. I like dairy. You know what's gotten me off of dairy? Reading. Reading. Research. But then the other thing they want, his wife, please. His wife was a retired English teacher. And after the sermon, now I was just out of college, so I was wet behind the ears. She would have a little paper, and she would be writing down all the grammatical errors that I had made in my sermons. So after the sermon, Sonny, come and see Granny. And she would tell me all the grammatical errors that I had made in my speech. But you know, they were such loving people that she could have sold me cancer. We stayed at their home. We loved them. There's a way to tell people where you can still tell that you love them and they're willing to listen. Probably not change, but listen. All right? Now, notice President Clinton. He was having problems with bypass surgery. He was in the process of dying. And he went to Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. He went to Dr. Campbell, the China study doctor. He went to these physicians, world-renowned doctors or PhDs and nutritional scientists, or they were research scientists, and they told him, you have got to change your diet or you are going to kill yourself. That's what they told him. He kept having blockages. And so notice they said since, what was it, 1986, 82% of the people that got on a plant-based whole foods diet, then he starts giving the laundry list. No meat, no dairy. Did you hear that? No meat? Yeah, I heard you all go, I saw some of your eyes go, oh, no, don't tell me no meat. No meat, no dairy, no fish, turkey. And then he said a little fish once in a while. Did you hear that, a little fish? I don't think he eats even fish now. The reason that he thought he needed to eat fish was this slide right here, omega-3. Fish is plumb full of omega-3. So let me give you a glass of water and let me fill it full of strychnine. Would you drink it? No. Why? The water is good. But a loving God, do you think he's going to force me to eat fish so that I can get my omega-3? No, he isn't. Fish with all the mercury in it, all the dioxins in it, all kinds of chemicals in fish, plus it's just flesh meat. It is filled with disease. God puts omega-3, folks, in our food, in our plant-based whole foods diet. Look at this, for example. This is some of this food that has some of the more in it. Almonds. We have almonds in our house. 136 milligrams. Spinach. There we go with my buddy spinach. Green soybeans. Wheat germ. Walnuts. We have walnuts in our house. Canola. And look at this one. Flaxseed. Flaxseed goes off the map. That is one tablespoon. You're not talking about a cup, folks. That's a tablespoon. God puts omega-3, we've got to have omega-3, and I'm not going to go through all the reasons why you need it, but we've got to have it. You just have to have it to have a good life. You've got to have omega-3. You don't have to eat fish, folks. We don't have to have fish to get our omega-3. So really, folks, our fate is on our plate. We are eating ourselves into a longer life or into an early grave, if you're lucky, an early grave, but if you're not lucky, you might have to live a long time with chronic health problems. So, there's so much nutritional information and misinformation. How are you going to know what to do? How do you know what to do? Well, let's talk to the Surgeon General. Our former U.S. Surgeon General, notice what he said. 2/3 of the deaths in the United States are related to what? Fast food, that's good. Diet. I didn't say that, folks. That's a Surgeon General. All right. I would like all of you to stand up, please. All of you that are able, if you're still awake, please stand up. And what I want you to do, if you're willing, I know it's a free country, you can do whatever you want to do. You didn't have to be here today, I realize that, but you're here. If you're able, stand up on your tippy toes, and when you stand up, you need to go apart a little more. Put your arms out and breathe in as you stand up, and then breathe out as you go down. Now, don't do it too fast or you might fly. Do it like 6 or 7 times. If you haven't exercised since 8th grade, you might need to sit down. Do you feel it coming? Do you know how much better you feel? Really? Okay, after you've done it 5 or 6 times, sit down. I think I'm going to fall over. All that air, all that oxygen. All right, now, I would encourage you guys to consider getting Forks Over Knives. It's a book, or get the video, Forks Over Knives. It has in there this proverb, an Egyptian proverb, a quarter of what you eat keeps you alive, the other 3/4 keeps your doctor alive. That's true, by the way. That's why the book is called Forks Over Knives. It's saying that the way to proper health, to longer life, is to eat. It's what you eat. It has to do with forks. That's what you eat with, okay? Knives is surgery. It's talking about surgery. Why do we need to have surgery? Why do we have to have this type of horrific care when we might be able to fix it by what we eat? That's why 3/4 of what we eat keeps our doctor alive. Hippocrates, leave your drugs in the chemist's pot if you can cure the patient with what? Food. Ellen White, this is probably the most important slide right here, one of them. It's where I get the title of our talk today. Satan gains easy access to those who are in bondage to what? Appetite. Through intemperance, some sacrifice one half and others two-thirds of their physical, mental, and moral powers and become what? Playthings. What is a synonym for plaything? Go ahead, Marcus. What? Toys. Good. That's toys. Slave. In other words, it's like silly putty. What is Ellen White saying? She is saying through our diet, through eating the wrong foods, we sacrifice a half and some two-thirds of our physical, mental, and moral powers and become a plaything, a toy, in the hands of Satan. Friend, do you realize how that is horrific? That is how most of us, I believe, as I've studied for this slideshow, folks, I believe that the majority of people, or let's get away from majority. Perhaps I should say, let's back off. What she talks about it, really. I really can't back off of it. Many, 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 many people are going to be lost. We're not going to have eternal life, folks. And the reason is appetite. Appetite. Why? Because what we eat gets us into the frame of mind where we become playthings for the enemy. Do you see that? I didn't say it. Ellen White said it. Satan is going around like a roaring lion. He is trying to get us lost. And one of his number one strategies, folks, look, what was the card that he played on Adam and Eve? Appetite. What was the first card that he played for Jesus in the wilderness temptation? Appetite. Ellen White, Christ began the work of redemption just where the ruin began. It was on appetite. His first test was on the same point where Adam failed. It was through temptations addressed to the appetite that Satan had overcome a large proportion of the human race, and his success had made him feel that the control of this planet was in his hands. Do you understand what's happening here, folks? Satan in the wilderness temptation with Christ, Satan, he basically, his attitude was this. All right, now look. I have snowed this entire planet. I've got them in my hands. They are my playthings. The control of the planet is in my hands. This is what Satan was thinking, she says, in the wilderness temptations. He had one thing standing between him and complete control, and that was Christ. And what was the card that he played first? Appetite. What made Satan feel like he had the control of the planet in his hands? It was through temptations addressed to appetite. Friends, appetite is not just some ancillary or side issue, friends. It is primary. It is front and center. This is the area where Satan is going to get the most of us, friends. Appetite. Ellen White, it was not the gnawing pains of hunger alone which made the sufferings of our Redeemer so inexpressibly severe. It was the sense of guilt which resulted from what? Indulgence of appetite that had brought such terrible woe in the world which pressed so heavily upon His divine soul. Christ, in the wilderness temptation, He really got it. More than the idea that, wow, He was just seeing this whole thing about humanity was just a slave. They were just a plaything in the hand of Satan as the result of them falling for Satan's temptations dealing with appetite. With man's nature and the terrible weight of his sins pressing upon him, our Redeemer withstood the power of Satan upon this great leading temptation which imperils the souls of men. If man should overcome this temptation, he could conquer, what's the rest? On every other point. Do you see, friends? Appetite is not ancillary. It's not side issue. It is a primary issue. Appetite. We have different scenarios about food pyramids. This is the new one. Here's the older one. Notice what's at the bottom of the... What is at the base of the pyramid? What does it mean by the base? If you have stones or bricks, what the foundation is where you need to have the best bricks, the best stone, right? Because it has the weight of the other stuff above it, right? So it's going to be the stuff that has the most, it's the most dense. It can hold the most weight, correct? Notice what is at the base of the food pyramid. Vegetables. Vegetables, most of them you see are green. But dark colored, majority green vegetables. They have the highest nutritional density. Vegetables. Your mother told you to eat your greens. She was correct. And then the next tier up, you have your fruits and your legumes. You go up and you have your nuts and your grains. You go up higher than that, you have your meat and dairy industry, which you don't need any of that. Here's a company man. Almost two-thirds in the U.S. are overweight. I just heard on the radio this week, they're saying 70%, 7-0. 70% of Americans are overweight or obese. That is becoming the number one health problem in the United States. Excess weight. Obesity speeds a person's aging process by nearly 9 years. By the way, do not think that weight is the only issue. I have read stories and seen videos about people in the past, like a Mr. Olympus or Mr. USA, or these people who, these bodybuilders that had bodies that you would just die for. I mean, they were just perfect physique. But they died, and they did an autopsy on them, and what did they find out? They found out that their vessels were clogged with cholesterol because of all the meat they were eating, meat and dairy. So folks, even if you have a figure like olive oil, you can still be eating the wrong foods. Obesity speeds a person's aging process by nearly 9 years. Children, the food industry is aiming squarely at you. Look at this stuff. Now, I admit, that's a Bavarian cream, chocolate-covered donut. Mercy, mercy, mercy. I'll be honest with you, I enjoy those. I admit it, I enjoy them. By the way, if I was to come in here with a pack of cigarettes and I was to put one up to my mouth, what would you do? You'd be surprised, and some of you would probably be calling my president Monday if you'd wait that long. You'd say, this guy is... See, that's something that we choose not to do, at least officially as Adventists. Now, we know that there are Adventists that have got that habit, and we pray and help them get off of it. We understand that. But you know, they've done a recent study, and they have found that they found that the health consequences of smoking are about equivalent to the health consequences of not exercising. It's about the same either way. In other words, both habits have about the same deleterious effect on our health. Smoking or not exercising. Now, many of us can strut around and say, I don't smoke. Okay, Bubsy, how many times do you exercise a week? And I look at myself in the mirror. So we need to realize that, folks. A quarter of our children are either obese or overweight. Kids are watching 40,000 commercials a year, luring them to eat junk food. Ellen White, his strongest hold on man is through what? Appetite. Food, folks. Food. By the way, you know, it's very difficult for me to get young people to stay for health things. You know why? I know why. I wouldn't have stayed either. Hey, look, when I was in ninth grade, I went to a day school in Tacoma Park, Maryland. It was a day academy, a Seventh-day Adventist academy. My mother, my dutiful mother, she gave me, I don't know what it was then, let's say it was a dollar. I really don't remember how much it was, but she gave, I think it was a dollar though, to buy the midday cooked meal. And she thought that little Kenny was going to school every day and she was dutifully giving him a dollar to have that cooked, righteous meal. Well, guess what else was at the school? Right across the street from the school was a 7-Eleven. And what I would do, I'm telling you, every time she gave me a dollar, I would go over there and see how many ice cream sandwiches and fruit pies I could buy for a dollar. And back then it was about four. And I would eat them. You ready to give me a whipping, aren't you? Take me out to the woodshed. I don't know if my mother ever knew that. And so when we are young, we think, you old people, you guys got one foot in the grave. I guess you are whining about your health. Well, you need to, but I don't because I'm fine. What you need to realize is these problems start when you're young. In other words, it's internal at first. What they're finding is they're doing autopsies. They've done in the Korean War. They did autopsies of our young men that were shot and killed. You know what they found out? They found gross evidence of atherosclerosis, even in teenagers. The controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands, when if they had conquered on this point, they would have had the moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation of Satan. Do you see why, based on some of these quotes, why I say probably the number one trick of Satan to keep the most of us out of heaven, according to Ellen White, it's going to be appetite. It's probably appetite. Look at these statements. Now, here we go, folks. Sugar. I've seen, this says 39 teaspoons a year of sugar. Good. Did you get that? I've seen some studies that say it's up to 50-something now. A day. You say, there is no way. I don't even have a sugar jar in my house. You don't need to, Bubsy. They put sugar in everything. I was going to show you, but I said there's no time. I was going to show you this morning during the announcement period. I was going to show you a couple of PowerPoint shows. You would be shocked the amount of sugar in some of the stuff that we eat. You would be horrified. I'm talking about even in water. I'm not talking about municipal water. I'm talking about some of the water drinks that we have. You think it's just water? No, bub. You need to read the label. Read the ingredients. It's terrible the amount of sugar that's in our food. We're sugarholics. And a third of our sugar is in soda pop. Now, I can be really cocky when it comes to talking about soda pop because I don't even have one soda pop in 3 months. I'm not tempted by it. Thank God I'm not. So let's talk about sugar. What's the problem with sugar? There are many problems with sugar, but one of the problems is the more sugar we eat, nutritional scientists say the more likelihood we have of getting all kinds of chronic diseases, including also cancer. And what is one of the reasons? Because it nukes our immune system. This is one of the reasons. Our immune system. What is our immune system? The immune system is like, let's say that we were being assaulted by, there was the enemy outside. And so what we had was, we had this building surrounded by the army. All right? This is our immune system. The building is surrounded by army. Well, as long as we're surrounded by the good guys, we can probably keep out the bad guys, right? But what happens if a third or a half or more of our army says, I quit, I'm going home? Guess what? It's just going to be a matter of time before we are overcome with the enemy. Do you see that? That is why one of the battles that is going on in our bodies is the battle between the white blood cells, those are the good guys, and the bad bacteria. So notice what happens when we start piling on the sugar. If we don't have any refined sugar in our bloodstream, according to a 21st century body, nutritional scientists tell us that we can one white blood cell can basically kill 14 bad bacteria. Now that's pretty good. I mean, Adam and Eve, they probably could have done 1,400 or 14,000. What is this focus thing? The focus isn't perfect, but I'm not going to take time to fool with it. But notice what happens when we start eating sugar. Now that's not even a whole can of soda. Six, that's not even a whole piece of pie. 6 teaspoons. You've gone from 14, now you can only take care of 10 bacteria. Notice when you have a can of soda or a nice big piece of pie, that's like 12 teaspoons of sugar. Now you're down to 5.5. That's almost like a third. Look what happens when you, that's probably what you're looking at there, 18 teaspoons of sugar. Now you're down to 2. And if you have a banana split, this is from Dr. Neil Nedley's book, Proof Positive, now you're down to 1. Do you see what happened to our immune system by sugar alone? By the way, Ellen White says sugar plus milk equals what? Alcohol. Do you drink? No, I don't drink booze. Do you have sugar and milk? Guess what? Your body doesn't know the difference. It's booze. Sugar. This is from the book Modern Foods by Dr. Furman. He's a medical doctor. Introduced by the Jesuits who bought sugar and cane products from Haiti to New Orleans around the mid-1700s. What is sugar? It's a toxic metabolite produced which interferes with cellular respiration. What's another term for cellular respiration? It's like breathing. How would you like it if I came up to your mouth and clamped over your mouth and your nose? You would want to beat me up, right? Hey, Mac, you trying to kill me? I can't breathe. That's what sugar does to our cells. It interferes with cellular respiration. The body cells are starved of oxygen, and they're just going to die or function abnormally. So what is Satan doing? He's trying to kill off our body little by little, but he wants it to taste good because he knows that if it tastes good, we'll keep coming back for it like an idiot. I'm talking to myself here. He's playing me. Do you see what he's doing? As Ellen White said, he's making me like a plaything. The potential of affecting every organ in the body, resulting in illness and degenerative diseases. Sugar suppresses the immune function. So, the food industry realizes that some of us have been reading about sugar. And so we say, all right, I'm not going to eat any more sugar. So guess what? We get sugarless gum, sugarless this, and some of the sugarless has aspartame. Aspartame is 200 times sweeter than sugar. Causes brain tumors in animals, headaches, seizures, adverse effects of the brain development of young children. Over 75% of all complaints to the Food and Drug Administration related to aspartame. So they give it all kinds of names. NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful, Benevia, NatraTaste, etc. Do you see what the food industry is trying to do, folks? It's trying to kill us by making a profit. Now, they wouldn't say it. This is from Neil Nedley's book, Proof Positive. This is a slide which I purchased permission to eat. Listen to me, I'm rushed. To print, to show to you 8 cancers linked to sugar consumption. Let's say them together, please. Colon, rectal, breast, ovarian, uterine, prostate, kidney, cancers of the nervous system. That's from sugar, folks. This is Dr. Neil Nedley. 98% of calories are from refined foods. 90%. 98% of the flour eaten in the U.S. is white. I eat out a lot. I'm out on the road a lot in my work, all over North and South Carolina, plus the southeastern United States for meetings. It's hard to even find wheat bread. It's getting easier now. White bread, it's white because all the good stuff has basically been stripped out of it. And by the way, this a multiple vitamin. I don't have time to talk about multiple vitamins much, but you know, multiple vitamins, they are a false sense of security. There are thousands of macro and micronutrients and phytochemicals in foods. They isolate out 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 macronutrients like vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin, you know. They isolate out a few of the thousands. They put them in pills. And one of the problems with pills, folks, guess what? It's called a simulation. I can give you, it's like I can give you 1,000 milligrams of a particular vitamin. But guess what? If it's in a pill form, your body is only going to accept like 1% of it, next to nothing. Your body doesn't assimilate it. It just goes out in your urine. Your body does not assimilate it. Your body will assimilate a lot more of it if you put it in, if it's in food. And with food, not only are you getting that one micronutrient, macronutrient such as vitamin C, but you're getting all of the thousands of other phytochemicals that have not even been isolated yet. Friends, that is why one of the most powerful slides on here is, like I said, Adam and Eve on the sixth day of creation, they were walking around, they got the Ur-Yerps, and God said, I can fix that. Your tummy is telling you, you're wondering what time it is, you're getting your money's worth. We're about done. God was telling them, this is what you need for your body. They enrich it by putting in 5 or 8 or 10 macronutrients. But friends, we need to realize that the food industry is just trying to make a profit off of us. All right, so let's go back to the Bible. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Well, Marcus or some other people might say, what in the world is that saying? Could you please talk in plain English? Okay, let's look at another translation paraphrase. Why do you spend your money on junk food? Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy. That's what God is asking me today. All right, let's talk briefly about the China study. The China study was the most comprehensive study on the connection between diet and disease in medical history. It was huge. China was an ideal testing ground because people in one area eat a certain diet and those in another area just a few hundred miles away eat a completely different diet and they don't migrate. So what we're saying is, let's say that this is the China study. You guys are nodding off on me. You want me to just quit right here or do you want me to keep going? All right. So let's say that this is one group in China, and here's another group. Excellent. That's a great place. And so this group over here, you guys eat a certain diet, and you guys over here eat a totally different diet. And you're not allowed to visit these people, or you choose not to. You don't visit them, and you don't marry them. So in other words, you basically stay uncontaminated from their lifestyle. They live a certain way, and you live a different way. And guess what they found out, these research scientists? Cardiovascular heart disease rates varied 20-fold from one place to another, and cancer rates several hundred-fold. Are you understand what that is saying? That is saying, let's say that these people over here, because of their diet, they had 20 times less cardiovascular problems than you guys. 20 times. And hundreds of times less cancer than you. Wouldn't you want to ask, hey, what are those guys doing? What is the difference? We only live a few hundred miles apart, and really the only difference between us and them is our diet. So what in the world are those guys doing? You know what they found out? The people in the country, the rural areas, they ate differently than people in the cities, by and large. It's more than that. But look at this. As the amount of animal foods increased. By the way, animal foods includes dairy. It's anything that has a linkage to a mother. All right? It includes dairy. Cheese, fish, eggs, meat, red meat, anything that gobbles, anything that oinks, but also anything that milk, dairy, all of this. This is, as the amount, it's an animal food. As the amount of animal foods increased in the diet, even in small increments, so did the emergence of the cancers that are common in the West. This is something that I alluded to earlier. As we eat more dairy, as we eat more meat, our incidence of cancer and other chronic problems goes up. That's why Bill Clinton is getting off of that stuff. Areas of the country with an extremely low consumption of animal food were virtually what? Free of heart attacks and cancer. Remember the slide that I showed you, the Edenic diet? Marcus, years ago, I decided to buy a Mustang GT. That's a hot rod Ford Mustang. You ever heard of those before? I loved it. In fact, I even paid to have an upgrade in the engine so that it had fuel air induction kit. And what it did was, it was hot. It was fun to drive. I came home one day, and I didn't have much gas in the gas tank. And I decided, I said, well, I don't want to stop at a gas station, and I lived out in the country. And so I said, I'll get gas tomorrow on my way out. So I pulled it in the garage, and you could hear that baby. Had that nice V8 engine. All you got to do is look at the gas pedal. You could lay rubber. I mean, it was a sweet car. Mustang GT, had it hopped up. The next morning, it was time for me to go. I turned that baby on. And I looked at the gas gauge. It was already touching the E. But when I started it up, it pegged the needle. It went to the left of E. In other words, it totally went all the way to the left side. And I said to myself, I know this V8. I don't think it's going to get to the gas station. So I turned it off, and I said, I got some lawnmower gas around here somewhere, right? So there was a blue gas can. So I put, there was about a couple of gallons in it. And so I put the couple of gallons in it, and I started her up. I went out down my street, went out on the, had one on a 55 mile an hour road. I was going. It felt good to pull that baby back. And all of a sudden, turned off. Tried to start that baby up. It was a brand new GT. I mean, the starter was brand new. So I mean, it would. And the battery was brand new, so I mean, it was a lot of power. But I didn't even have one spark. I mean, it was totally dead. Called up, and I looked around. I got a tow truck company that had a flatbed tow truck. I did not want them hauling my baby down the road like this. I wanted them to gently put it up on a flatbed. It was my baby. I mean, I waxed the thing every week. I washed it every week. I parked it a mile from any other car. It was my baby. Took it in there to a Ford. I didn't want some Bubba working on it. Took it into a Ford dealer. Warranty repair, right? You guys messed up my Mustang GT. The next morning, I got a phone call. Hey, Mac, who's the Einstein that put 2 gallons of water in your GT? I thought about it, and I said, uh-oh. blue gas can. I had 2 5-gallon gas cans in my garage. When I was younger, I had a high-performance ski boat. That thing would haul. I could haul around tons of skiers, all of them. It would just pop right out of the water, had 300 and some horse. It was a very powerful, high-performance ski boat. Well, I left pastoring, went into conference work. I went away from youth people, and I sold the boat. I got rid of the boat. Well, when I had the boat, I had 2 5-gallon gas cans, which I told you about. The blue one, I put 5 gallons of water in it. We'd be out for the whole day. That's all it ever had in it was water. It never had anything else than water. It was an easy, economical way of carrying around 5 gallons of water. And I had the red one, which was full of gasoline. Yes, high-performance gasoline. Well, I sold the boat, and I thought that I'd taken the water out and put gas in the blue, but I hadn't. It was still water. Friend, one day, you're going to have a physician or a health care provider come up to you and say, "Hey, Mac, who's the Einstein that kept filling your body with candy bars? Hey, Mac, who's the Einstein that filled your body with sugar? Hey, Mac, who's the Einstein that kept filling your body with dairy?" Now look, I know you guys don't want to hear it. Like I said, it took me 30 years or more to get off the dairy. I just did not want to hear it, and I meant it. And you can eat whatever you like. But I want to tell you, I know from experience, if you put water in a Mustang GT, you're only going to get about a mile. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you walk on water. One day you're going to have a phone call in life, and it's going to say at the other end, "Hey, Mac, who's the Einstein? You have never gotten around to caring for your body. And because of that, now you've got to live with these chronic problems." Think about it. And if I point a finger at you, I've got 3 pointing at me. Please don't think that I'm coming around here as some holy camoli that is telling you that I am perfect. I am not. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. A significant association with animal protein intake, even at relatively low levels, and heart attacks, with a strong protective effect from green veggies. Green veggies have the highest nutritional content. Green veggies, that's why the background I made green. Strong correlation between cancer and the amount of animal protein, not just animal fat. Now, some of you say, "All right, you've convinced me. I'm going to get off of cheese." But guess what fake cheese has in it? A lot of fake cheese. The number one ingredient, casein. What is casein? I'm going to skip some of this. Casein, which makes up 87% of cow's milk, promoted all stages of the cancer process. The safe proteins are from plants. Yes, we need protein. The meat industry and the dairy industry loves to toot their horn about you got to have protein. First of all, for my study, we need a lot less protein than they think we need. And secondly, God has placed protein in the plant-based whole foods diet. We don't need to have meat products, folks, or animal products to have our protein. We don't. So, what is our lifestyle? You know, by and large, Adventists on an average eat more sugar than non-Adventists. We do. And Ellen White says that a dumping of sugar is more dangerous for us than meat. All right. Now, this is my last slide, unless you want to see another short video. But let's look at this last slide. This is the United States food consumption by calories. 42% of our calories come from dairy and animal foods. Now, we've already heard about dairy and animals, so we know that that's not good calories, right? So if you throw out the 42%, Then let's look at the 51%. It's from refined and processed foods. That's food which basically has got the nutritional value stripped out of it, and a little bit has been put back in it. All right? So we know that that's really relatively not good at all for us either. It has very little nutritional value. Notice what is left by calories. 7% fruits and veggies. What do you think the number one fruit and vegetable is eaten in the United States? No. It's potatoes. I said fruit and vegetable. Potatoes. And guess where we eat most of our potatoes? French fries and potato chips. Junk food. Take out your French fries and potato chips, and what you have left is about 3 to 4%. Do you see why we're coming down with chronic problems? It's a growth industry, folks. I used to be. I let it go out now because they wanted a lot of money a year to keep it up. And I said, I'm not going to do that. For a year, I was a certified senior advisor. It's a growth industry. Elder law attorneys, have you heard of that? Elder law? We're living longer. The boomers are getting older now. And that's one of the reasons why the health care, our Social Security is a real problem. Why? Because we're living a lot longer, but we're living longer with chronic health problems. This slide shows us one of the big reasons. It's what we're putting in our bodies. We don't have much nutrition in which to have a good, healthy body. All right, now, we can end with that slide if you want. You ready to have prayer? Okay. What? If you want. Very, very little, though. Very little. I am not a trained nutritionist, but what I have read, I still believe that grains are good for us. My wife is gluten intolerant, and there's a growing number of people that have an intolerance and allergy to gluten. And if you think you might have that, you don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. But I'm really not a health... I've shown you pretty much... Yes, go ahead. What is your question, ma'am? To me, caffeine, it basically is, it's stealing away your energies. It's giving you a false sense of energy. I do not think caffeine is your friend. I would stay away from caffeinated drinks. All right, or caffeinated foods. Because what it's doing is it's giving you a false sense of energy, but it's robbing you. It's robbing you from the stores of energy that you have. Caffeine is not good for us. All right, let's stand for prayer. Before we have prayer, I just want to say just briefly, there's a whole area here which we haven't touched that was in this next video, but we're not going to show that video. One of the areas where, and this is what clogs up our arteries a lot, and this is dairy. This is where you get saturated fats. Saturated fats come from dairy, and it's from animal products. That's where saturated fat comes from. Also, trans fats. Have you heard of trans fats? Trans fats are partially hydrogenated fats. That's a whole other area that we haven't talked about at all. The food industry puts saturated fats and trans fats in the food supply. They do it because it's a cheap way of adding shelf life to the food and also tastes good. But what it does is it clogs up our arteries. You guys need to look on the label. And if it says in there saturated fat in the contents, or if it says partially hydrogenated, or it says hydrogenated, you need to realize that that stuff will basically stay in your arteries. It's clogging them up. All right? And you need to be very careful about how much you eat. I'm not going to show you that video. But you see, this is what you look like, Marcus, when you come out of mommy's tummy. When you're first born, no clogged arteries. 10 years old. But look what happens by the time you're 20. Because of the junk food that we're eating, your arteries are beginning to be clogged up. And that's what that video showed you. It would actually show you that. Look what happens when you're 40, 60, 70 years old. This is why you have heart attacks. This is from all of that junk food that we're eating. It's clogging up our arteries. It's making the food industry rich, but it's causing us to have chronic health problems. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've really backed the dump truck up to these people and dumped off a lot of stuff today. It's been a little bit of my journey that I didn't know a lot about this even 5 years ago. But that day that I woke up and I wondered if I was looking at the grave and I had to go away to a lifestyle center, it really put me on a new trajectory and it got me interested in health. Lord, I pray that some individuals here today, that they will say, you know, I need to look at this. I don't want to be a plaything in the hands of Satan. I'm tired of doing that. I want God to give me self-control at the table. Lord, I pray for these individuals and may they pray for me today. Lord, we know that you made just very tasty fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables for our good. Help us to learn to enjoy the good and little by little to leave alone the bad. God, we know that you'll give us the power to do that, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.